Welcome back here on the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB as we are live at the American Century Championships. Of course, American Century, great Kansas City company, and does a great job of putting on this tournament. And it's the beginning of the football season, as we like to call it. The end of the off season for football folks. And I guess for my next guest, I got to ask one question. Have you bought a meal or a drink yet? Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Eagles, is with us. How are you, Coach?
Hi, I'm doing well. And I tell you what, it's that's one of the perks I enjoy, or the free meals.
Yeah. It's come around. Has Philadelphia landed yet? Or are they still up on a cloud?
No, they're still on a cloud, and rightfully so. That city's well deserving of this championship, obviously, and it's much more for them, obviously, than it is, you know, for the Philadelphia Eagles and the organization. Jeffrey Lurie, who's had the team now for about 24 years, and the city is still riding that cloud.
Yeah, and now what do you do to follow it up? Like, right, this is the big thing, is how do you motivate again?
We can't drop the mic and say we're done. we just gotta maintain the same approach. You know, we just gotta continue to work hard and. You know, I want the guys to remember the journey.
Right.
We can't rely on the journey because it's a different team. It's a different year, a different set of circumstances. But let's remember what we sacrificed as a team, you know, to get to that championship. And, you know, so always remember that. And, you know, we're going to put in the hard work again in training camp. The guys are excited about coming back and here in a couple weeks. And just looking forward to getting started.
Andy Reid has had great success. You've now had great success. What is it? What's the plan? What's the secret? Where is it coming from? We know what Andy Reid's background is. What is it that what's the magic you've got bottled there?
I don't think there's any kind of pixie dust.
Right.
I don't think there's any magic, a magic wand, whatever. I just think you just get in there and you roll up your sleeves and you go to work. You build trust with your players. You build relationships with your guys. You allow your coaches to coach, which I learned from Andy Reid. He let us coach. He let us, you know, take the game plan to the players and execute that. And, you know, just be upfront and be honest with the players. And that's what they want. And they want that. And they want that from their head coach. And Andy, that's where I learned it from, you know, from him. And of course, Holmgren, when I played for Mike Holmgren in Green Bay. And, you know, so it's just, there's no magic. It's just the will and the want to. You have a GM that we bring in good character, quality guys that love football and they're you know, high speed internet guys. They can process information fast and you know, there's no magic formula.
You said, hey, Andy, let's his coach, let's his coaches coach, but he didn't always let you call plays. And that was like I love how, like, where we were, the dynamics of you being named as the Eagles coach. And that was the big question. Did he call plays? Did he not call plays? Can he call plays? Yeah, clearly you can. Maybe called the greatest game in the history of the NFL, right? And what you did against the New England Patriots. Do we as fans and media make way too much out of calling the plays? Or is it that big a deal?
I don't know. I mean, he let me call, you know, my last year in Kansas City, he let me call the second half of football games.
Right.
That year we went on that, 10-11 game run right there and lost to New England in the postseason. But he allowed me to kind of get my feet wet calling plays, you know, in the second half of those games where he can manage the game and look from afar. And, you know, so, you know, I think it's about a feel. You know,
right.
Having a feel for your players, having a feel for the game. I think having – been a quarterback, you know, you kind of understand that. You see the game through the eyes of the quarterback and you know, just, you know, making smart, calculated decisions that aren't like fly by the seat of your pants stuff. You know, maybe it's a fourth down or a 2-point conversion or whatever it is, and you know, but I've got to put in the time. If I'm going to be a play caller, I've got to put in the time just like the players do. I got to study the game plan. I got to make sure the plays are that they fit the situations that we're in, and then just be smart about it.
One of the things that I think, first of all, does it get hard to manage the clock too? Like, that's the thing that seems like it would be difficult when you're trying to manage the clock and have your head in the play sheet.
You know, my first year it was different, having to, like, you keep one eye on the clock and you're looking at the game sheet and you're calling plays and, oh, we need a timeout here now. but you know, this is where I rely on my offensive coordinator last year, Frank Reich. You know, to he and I now, I can, you know, during the week I can say, hey, Frank, we get in a situation like this, I need you to do this, whatever this is,
right?
So he can be in my ear, you know,
right?
Like, coach, hey, be ready for a timeout after this play if the ball's inbounds or something like that. Be ready for a timeout. So, you know, we're constantly rehearsing those situations where I'm rehearsing them during the week. So when we get into a game, boom, we can just pull the trigger and make that decision.
I think where Coach Reed is underrated, and I think you were very underrated in this, and maybe started getting your due with your run through the postseason and obviously winning a championship. Once you win a title, you every decision you make is right. I don't know if you know that.
I don't think so.
At least for a few years. I don't, maybe Jim Harbaugh is starting to wear off now in Baltimore. You got to go a few years. But otherwise, everything you do is right. What I think you guys are underrated at it is your week of game. Right? We do make so much out of the play calling. But the week of game, I'm always amazed at how you guys and, like, Coach Reed, I'll talk about his players, right, because I know him, watch the Chiefs cover them every day. Travis Kelce, particularly early on when Travis was kind of really the only threat in the passing game that was there, and there'd be three or four times during a game where he's wide open, playground wide open, nobody even in the shot, right? And it's the one guy you got to account for, yet somehow during the week of the game, you guys have gone through and broken it down, and you were obviously in that mix as well, and Matt, of course, Matt Nagy as well.
Right.
How do you go in there and take a guy who at that time was really the only threat and then figure out what's wrong and get a guy, no joke, playground wide open? And you were doing that this year at times with your guys, with the Eagles.
Yeah, you know, and it just comes down to film study. And, you know, our league is about matchups and creating matchups and how we can put people in those situations to be an advantage, you know, advantage offense. You know, and that just comes from study. You know, it comes from study, understanding defense, understanding, you know, technique and leverage and again, by design, by play design, by formation design, whatever it might be, rub routes, pick routes, whatever you want to call them. And then you've created that one-on-one. You know, the defense can only do so much, you know. I feel like if you spread the field and things like that, you can create some matchups there. But, you know, it just comes down to study and preparation. And Coach Reed is the best at putting guys in positions to be successful.
I know you had confidence in Nick Foles, right? You've been around him a lot. But in that moment when you lose Carson Wentz, who's barreling towards the league MVP, I mean, there had to be at least a moment of where you're like, you got to be kidding me, right? That he goes down now. I mean, what did you at least for a minute have to be like, what are we going to do? I know you have confidence in Nick Foles and it's no shot against him, but did you for a minute go, you know, what is it? Why now when we've got it rolling so well?
You know, there was a little on that plane ride back from L.A., you're just kind of sitting there scratching your head like, man. We're sitting here. We got everything right in front of us, and now this happens, you know. And we were faced with a lot of adversity. We lost a left tackle, Pro Bowl left tackle, Jason Peters, and Darren Sproles, our runner and our punt returner. We lost some great players last year, and then our quarterback goes down in Week 13, and you're going, oh, my gosh. It kind of reminded me a little bit of the Raiders when Derek Carr went down, like in Week 17, going into the postseason.
Right.
You remember that?
Yes.
It kind of reminded me a little bit of that. And by the way,
that did not go well.
It didn't go well for them. But, you know, for me, it was about now, okay, I got to shift gears. You know, I've got to get Nick ready to go. A lot of listen, he's not a rookie. He's not.
Right.
He played a ton of games. He started a lot of games. You know, he's prepared himself for this situation his whole life. And it was just a matter of finding the right set of plays that he was comfortable with in our system. Didn't have to change a ton, but just find the right chemistry, you know.
Did you have to rebuild him a little bit? Because I've heard from, like, maybe when the Rams days were over, that there was kind of a sense that he even was like, I'm not sure I still want to do this.
Yeah, I think before he went to Kansas City, there was that doubt that crept in his mind that he really did he want to continue to play. And when he came to us last year in the offseason, you know, he was 100% on board. He was ready to go. You know, he knew he was going in as the backup behind Carson, and all season long he just kept supporting him and feeding him and helping him study and prepare, and I could see him talking during games, and that's what a backup is all about. And those are the things that Nick sort of energized and re-energized his career. And then the fairy tale ending, obviously, you know, with a Super Bowl and an MVP and all that. Is just, I couldn't be happier for Nick.
All right, my last question before I give you my final four, and that is this: trick plays, right? When they work, you're a genius. When they go wrong, like Tyreek Hill throwing picks, you know, Andy Reid, gets it. How important is it to have fun, right? To have those things built in there so that guys have a chance to just have fun during the grind that is an NFL season?
I think it's really important, very important. It's something that, you know, I look for every week to have a gadget or a gimmick type play. Take advantage of their talents. I mean, guys can run fast and jump high, but some of these guys were quarterbacks in their future, you know, in their past. You know, Lane Johnson might be able to throw the ball. He's a right tackle, but he might be able to throw the ball one day. Who knows? You know, so to have fun with the guys and have something where they sort of have ownership in it, you know, and you work it in practice, and then when you see it come and work, and you know, who would have thought it would have been the fourth and goal of the Super Bowl? But it was just a great time to call it, and the guys feed off of that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Doug Peterson's with us. Time for my final four. Four quickies, one word. That's all you got to give me. Tell me, what's your best table game up at the casinos?
I don't gamble.
None?
None.
None?
None.
Oh, wow, that's bold. That's bold. You're a better man than me. Have you ever beat a quarterback? You, as a coach, have you ever beat a quarterback who threw for 500 yards against you?
No. Actually, go back to college. I threw for 600 yards and lost 66-45, and the other kid threw for like 530. I threw for 619. He threw for 535.
You know you're lost. You know you're wrong. Because Tom Brady went for 500.
He went for 505, and we won.
Yes.
So we flipped the.
That's right. So you have beaten him. I just was curious. Like, people even think about how that game was a shootout. So that was cool. Even the head coach of the team that won.
Yeah.
All right. Do you have any gear from the Rhine Fire?
I do. In fact, you know what? My son has it. Yes.
Yes. Good for him. I love that. I love those kind of things.
He's got an old hat from it.
And then both guys, yeah, I'm sure, you know, no reason to be, if this is not positive or negative, just curious, who throws more touchdowns the next 4 years, Alex Smith with the Redskins or Patrick Mahomes with the Chiefs?
Serious right now?
Yeah. Just more. That doesn't mean one's going to win more or be better or worse. Who do you think throws more touchdowns?
Alex.
Wow. Okay. There it is. You're on the record. Coach, congratulations. We're very thrilled.
But not against us.
You know, never. Zero against the Eagles.
Zero against us.
Hey, congrats again on the Super Bowl.
Thanks for having
me. Enjoy it. Thanks for coming on.